You're listening to All Action Sports Radio.
This is the Dingo.
Justin Barsha.
Gus Kenworthy.
Kristen Moore.
Paul Rodriguez, a.k.a. P-Rod. And you are listening to All Action Sports Radio. Peace.
Well, all right. Good morning and welcome. Good afternoon. Welcome to All Action Sports Radio. I'm your host this week, Wes. We have a great lineup for you this week. We'll be talking to Olympian gold medalist in the X Games. She is a champion all around, and she is representing the United States going forward in about 27 days. We're going to get into the Olympics, but Olympian snowboarder and all-around champion Kelly Clark will be on All Action Sports Radio today. And I am happy to say we have our usual cast of characters coming in. Jason Weingant from Racer X Online. We'll have Ryan Simmons, our resident surf expert, wrapping up. I know we talked about surfing and Kelly Slater coming in second and Mick Fanning, but we're going to talk about 2014. It is literally around the corner, and so Ryan Simmons will be here to talk about surf. And of course, Jeff Schmuck, our man with free skiing, that huge, huge controversy with Bob Costas, who called slopestyle skiing jackasses on snow. And so I'm sure Jeff has a lot to say about it. Sal Masekela had a lot to say on Twitter, as well as a whole bunch of others. We'll catch up with Jeff Schmuck later in the show, and you want to stick around for that. This week, we wrapped up Agenda, which is a huge action sports trade show, which goes on all week. And while I was down there this week, I saw a lot of old faces, new faces. It's a lot of fun. And Emerge, they have this big symposium. P-Rod, Nas was there, and that was fantastic. So big ups to P-Rod for putting on a tremendous show with Nas. And one of the things I saw during this whole thing were guys walking around with that Macklemore haircut. You know that song? Yeah, that's it. Thanks. Thrift Shop. And he has another one busted out. Biggest rap star of the year. And he's more like Vanilla Ice to me than anything else. But anyway, guys are walking around with Macklemore haircuts. It makes you want to puke, to be honest. I mean, they have his haircut. That weird haircut that guy has. And I saw some guy with a fur coat walking around the trade show. I thought that was incredibly stupid. You see a lot of things at the Action Sports Show, but that's one thing you do not want to see: guys walking around with Macklemore haircuts. Listen, you can email us at allactionsportsradio@gmail.com. I was on Twitter a lot over the break, and Twitter is just blowing up. So if you want to like us, follow us at All Action Sports Radio, please. It's at All Action Sport. There's no S. Go ahead and follow us, like us. We're right in there. We're right in the mix and getting it done on Twitter. So do that. You can also follow us on Instagram, All Action Sports Radio. That's our Instagram handle. And, of course, Facebook, All Action Sports Radio. And that's us, All Action Sports Radio. We're killing it in 2014 already. We have our man Ryan Simmons. I just jumped ahead. We do not have Ryan Simmons. We have Jason Weingant from RacerX Online talking about Anaheim 1 and Phoenix coming up right now. And we're back here at All Action Sports Radio. Want to give a big shout out to WCLT 1430 AM in Columbus, Ohio. Thank you for being a part of All Action Sports Radio. And now we're into one of my favorite segments here at All Action Sports Radio with Jason Weingant, Racer X Online editor. He also hosts a TV broadcast of Lucas Oil AMA Motocross and the GNCC series. And his Twitter handle is Jason Weingant at twitter.com. Jason, welcome to All Action Sports Radio 2014.
Oh, it's an exciting time of year. Probably the most exciting time of year for us.
Absolutely. Anaheim 1, Phoenix coming up right here. And I know we're here with Phoenix, but let's recap last week just for our listeners real quick. On lap 15, Stewart gained an amazing amount of time. The Twittersphere, Instagram, everybody was blown up how he caught Roczen, almost beat him, but he got caught up in the whoops, right? Although he didn't finish, a lot of people felt like he won the race, and he came out of it saying, "I feel good. I feel confident." He released a video, and you know, letting people know how he felt about that race. He wasn't down about it, as you say. He went cow on us, but he doesn't sound like a guy who came in 17th, right?
I think that's the biggest tangible change in James Stewart. Every year he comes in saying he's got a new attitude and things are going to be different. But last year, I feel, was the first time we really saw a huge change in that when things went badly, he was able to cope with them a little bit better. Before, he had the crash or win thing going, but man, when he crashed, you didn't want to go anywhere near him at the end of the night. Now he seems to shrug it off. I'm sure he was very upset in the moment, as soon as he crashed, picked up the bike and realized that it was bent and he couldn't get back in the race. He was mad then. But I think a few, you know, whatever, hour later, he was feeling good. He put out the video. His riding's where it needs to be, but I don't know. I think it's a pretty big dent in the title, if you ask me.
Well, his lap rank was number one, even though he finished 17th. He had the best lap time, and you're right. He's back. He's new and improved. But I want to give this to our listeners because I think this is huge. How badass are you to keep going full throttle through the whoops? Explain to our audience just how strong and brave you have to be to do something like that.
Well, I think you can see as the crash, if you get a chance to look at it, folks, the crash is unfolding. You know he's going down, and you can see what he decides to do to try to prevent it from happening. The last thing that leaves the bike is the right wrist on the throttle.
Jeez.
That's the last. And, man, when that bike finally does come out from underneath him, it launches. It really gives you an idea of how much power and speed these bikes have. As soon as it goes riderless, I mean, that thing was like a rocket accelerating over the top of bumps. It's pretty amazing that they make it look that in control when you realize how gnarly those things
and
really
out of control he is. But how many guys would actually do that? You know, guys pull up on the whoops. They have that's why they don't win. They hit those whoops and the guys pull up. I mean, it's like that in snowboarding, skiing, and slopestyle. I mean, just how badass is he to do that?
I mean, there's a lot of theories as to why he's able to go through whoops faster than other people. One I've heard from David Villeman, who's an ex rider who had won Anaheim 1 back in his time. He says that Stewart gets higher up on the top of the whoops than anybody else, so he's not hitting them as hard. He's not bouncing down into the middle, but the danger is your tire is only hitting that very, very tippy top of the dirt, and there's not much traction there. And if that thing breaks loose like it happened, you see what happens. It's just a risk that Stewart's willing to take that no one else is willing to take.
There you go. Nate, let's talk about KTM. Monster weekend for KTM, right? Ken Roczen, Ryan Dungey, and then Jason Anderson. It was a KTM, you know, phenomenal weekend for those guys. Do you think they can sustain that, or was that a one-time thing for them this season?
No, they absolutely can. There's nothing fluke about those three riders or anything like that. Obviously, Roczen winning the first race of the year in his first year in the class is a little bit crazy, but he's a great rider and he's fast. I think people expected him to win a race at some point, so why not the opener? And we know what Dungey's capable of, so that's not a shock. And Anderson was one of the favorites in 250s. You know, exactly those results? Maybe not, but it's not going to be the case where they drop way back and we're going to say, what happened in Anaheim? That was a weird deal. I mean, those guys are going to be up front all year long.
Okay, cool. Let's talk about our three-peater, Ryan Villopoto. Got the whole shot, got everybody excited, and then, you know, things started falling apart for him. You know, what do you think happened to him? I mean, we know he lost the front wheel in a tricky berm, but what happened to Ryan Villopoto?
Yeah, it's a good question to ask because it really wasn't just that crash. At no point during the day in practice or the heat race or the main event was he quite like the Ryan Villopoto we come to expect. Yes, he was leading, but Roczen and Chad Reed were second and third, and they were staying close. I don't know if they would have caught him and passed him, but he certainly wasn't gapping everyone like he had a lot of time.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so the opening round is kind of a weird deal. Everyone is guessing on how to set up their bikes for starters. You really don't know for sure until you actually race. So I think some people guess right, some people guess wrong. After they get a few races under their belt, everybody knows then for sure what direction they need to go. Villopoto was terrible at the beginning of the year last year also. Took him a couple weeks to figure it out. So I think he'll be fine. I think he was also a little bit under the weather, not something huge, but you add that up, and that's why he was maybe, you know, 95% of the Ryan Villopoto we're used to seeing. He'll be fine, though.
Let's get to some injuries real quick. Eli Tomac, how's he looking after that? After his crash?
It's 50-50. He's going to go to the race this weekend. He's going to try to suit up Saturday morning and ride and hope that he can do it. I mean, the best-case scenario, that means he'll race without having ridden all week, which is already not great. That's the best he can hope for. The worst is he might realize he's too hurt to ride, so this is dangerous turf right now, and that sucks. It happened in the very first heat race of the year. Yeah.
Now, Blake Badge is busted up. I think he has a broken foot. That's the word, right?
Yeah, he's hoping to ride the 250 class in the East, which starts in about 5 weeks. So it's going to be close. He knows he'll be on a bike by then, but he doesn't want to, you know, first get on a bike after being off for 2 months and then race the very next day. So it's going to be very close timing for him to heal up.
And my last 10 seconds, Jason, how can we call Phoenix? 1, 2, 3. Who do you see?
I'm going to go Justin Barsha for the win. I'll put Rocks in there in second. And how about Ryan Dungey on the podium again? Let's do it.
Dude, that's a bet. We'll be waiting. Jason Weingant, RacerX online editor. Thank you so much for being part of our show. And we'll catch up with you next week.
Always a pleasure, Wes. Thanks, man.
All righty. All right, coming up, we have Olympian and X Games gold champion snowboarder Kelly Clark here on All Access Sports Radio.
Clifton to see my old friend, the best people I could ever have met. Skin off a fat one, hide from the feds, and something's changing.
They say the devil is a mind, he's looking for a friend, so buy yourself forgiveness if your heart is full of sin.
And we're back here at All Action Sports Radio. I want to give a big shout out to everybody that's listening on your iPad, your iPhone. Either way, if you're doing it, Instagram us. You can follow us at All Action Sport on Twitter. And you can email us at allactionsportsradio@gmail.com. Like I told you earlier in our show, I was at Agenda this past week. And Agenda has changed a lot. It used to be a different show. And it was really, really huge and it was massive. And there were a lot of strange things that you would see at Agenda. But one thing I saw that I'd never seen in probably my 10, 15 years of going to action sports trade shows, I saw Darth Vader and a stormtrooper. They were walking around the trade show, and they were posing for pictures, and people were acting like they were 5 years old. There was a huge line of all these action sports athletes and vendors and people just getting in line for Star Wars to take a picture with Darth Vader. It was pretty hilarious. I had not seen anything like that. All right, moving into our next segment. I am very, very excited about our next segment. She stumped the first 1080 in women's competition history. She's a champion of huge renown in snowboarding, not just as a female. The New Zealand Open, the O'Neill Evolution, the Burton European Open, Dew Tour, X Games, the Burton Canadian Open, the Mammoth Grand Prix, the Burton U.S. Open, the European X Game. She won her first Olympic gold medal in 2002, bronze in 2010. She is representing the U.S. in 2014 again in the Olympics, and she is now at the Grand Prix getting ready to stomp it all over again. I want to personally thank her for all her hard work and dedication and representing the USA. It is a mighty toll, and she is a true American hero, and she is here on All Action Sports Radio. Ladies and gentlemen, all our listeners around the world, Kelly Clark. Kelly, welcome to All Action Sports Radio.
Thanks for the intro, and thanks for having me on the show today.
Absolutely. You are a huge inspiration, Kelly, to kids, both male and female, from all over the world, watching what you do. You've been doing it virtually all of your life, and I know how much work you put into it. So thank you for that.
Yeah, it's great. I love the opportunity to do what I love for a living. I've got it pretty good.
Yeah, you do. I mean, now you are, what, 26, 27 days away from Sochi?
Yeah, but who's counting?
Well,
coming up quick.
Well, we are. I think February 6th, that's when qualifying is, right?
Yes, it's we're less than a month out now. But, you know, for me, this journey really started 4 years ago when I kind of committed to this process. I'm in the middle of the Olympic qualifiers right now. I placed as the first American in the first two, so I've locked up my spot on the U.S. team.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you. I'll have the privilege of representing the U.S. for the fourth time here heading into Russia.
I know. That's fabulous. I mean, just to be an Olympian is a huge achievement. I mean, you're doing something that less than 1% of people in the world get to do, and I know people think it's easy, but they don't understand how much work you put into it, especially in the off season. So can you tell our listeners how you prepare in the off season for the Olympics?
Sure. You know, it's easy to watch the competitions and, you know, see the Olympics and see that aspect of it. But, you know, like I said, it's really an everyday thing. It's a 4 year process. We train 4 years for a 30-second run.
Wow.
So it's pretty intensive, and I find now, you know, as I'm 30 years old, I definitely train smarter, not harder, and I definitely have to invest a lot more than I used to. And I think that's, you know, as I've gotten older, it's what my body needs. And as the sport's progressed, I think what it requires physically of us is much more than what it used to require. So, you know, I'm in the gym 6 days a week, all summer long, all spring long, all fall long, and then in the my maintenance program in the winter is still 6 days a week in the gym, but it's not strength building, it's more maintaining mobility and recovery.
Are you on a special diet? Do you eat, you know, protein drinks, or what do you do diet wise?
My special diet is to eat enough food every day. I have to have a pretty high calorie diet. I have protein drinks and smoothies between every meal, protein bars on the hill and at the gym, and then three full meals on top of that. So my focus is to really make sure I'm replenishing my body after I'm kind of demanding a lot from it physically. And, you know, with the cold and the travel and all the exercise, I just have to make sure that I'm getting replacing what my body needs.
You know, we're on the line with Kelly Clark. She's an Olympian, and she is an X Games champion, and she'll be defending her championship at the X Games coming up in just a few weeks. Now, Kelly, last year, if I want to go through the X Games, we touched upon that before we get to the Olympics more. You went into that as a two-time defending gold medalist, and Elena Hite, your nemesis, was 90 points strong going in. You had to deliver like a huge run, and you spun a frontside 1080 out of the gate straight into a cab 720. Now, you said this was by far one of the most technical runs that you had ever done to win the X Games last year. Do you feel like you have to do even more going into the X Games this year?
Every year I try and judge myself based off of how I was doing 1 year prior. You know, I've never found it good to measure growth over a short period of time. You know, I want to look at a year ago. Have I gotten better? Am I doing more technical run than I was? And right now I'm doing the run that I was doing at X Games last year, and I'm 2 weeks out to X Games. So I've got some personal growth going there, and I'm working on some new tricks. I'm always trying to up myself. I'm always trying to better myself. You know, I love snowboarding because you can never be the best. It's mm-hmm. always changing. It's always progressing. You know, what Elena did for our sport was incredible last year at the X Games, being the first woman to land a double in competition. That day I just played to my strengths. You know, I thought, well, if I'm going to beat a run with a double, I better do my hardest trick first hit. I better go as big as I can. And it worked out playing to my strengths, and I hope to progress and do a better run than I did last year there.
Awesome. Now, Shaun White came out with a video for his new trick this season, and, you know, they put it out there, you know, blew up in the Twitter sphere, and people were all agog. Do you have anything like that in your repertoire going into the X Games, a new trick that maybe you haven't put out there in a video like Shaun, but, you know, you have in your back pocket?
I wouldn't say I've got it, like, right in my back pocket, but it's It's almost there. I've been working on cab 10s. That's been the big target for me. I look at my run and I see where I can make gains and where I have kind of some weak links, and I think I could really step it up with my cab spins. So if I could do a switch 1080 in my run, you know, that would be a huge accomplishment for me, and that's really what I'm targeting. I don't know when I'll be able to officially say it's in my pocket. But I'm working every day on it, and, you know, it's nice for me right now having locked up my spot on the Olympic team, because I no longer have to focus on making the team. I simply can work on my snowboarding. That was my goal.
So
I've got a month to perfect that. So I've been working on it all year long, and I'm hoping to be able to insert that into my run.
And that begs to my next question, because you're at the Grand Prix right now, and you qualified for the finals, and now you have the X Games coming up in a couple of weeks. The Olympics are the big kahuna, as they say. So do you have, like, separate runs that you have planned for the X Games and then the Olympics? Like, you have something in your mind, like, okay, I'm going to do this for the X Games, and then I know I want to do this for the Olympics, or are each time you do these competitions, like the Grand Prix in the winter and the X Games, you're doing that same run and perfecting it?
I'm more along the lines of perfecting things right now. I use competitions as practice for competitions. There's no better place to get ready for big events like the Olympics, like the X Games, than doing events. You know, even yesterday in qualifier here, I fell first run and I came back to the top, and my coach was like, hey, this is great practice for you. If you fall in Sochi, you're going to be able to overcome it. So go land your second run. You know, I look for those opportunities to get in uncomfortable, difficult, competitive situations so that I'm as ready as I can be. You know, heading into this year, my whole goal was to get my riding to a level where mm-hmm. I didn't have to land the run of my life just to make the Olympic team. You know, I wanted to be well within my ability level, so then I could focus on my snowboarding. And so right now, these events are practice, and I'm going to get myself in difficult situations. I'm going to work on perfecting the run that I need to do in Sochi. I'm going to work on that cab 10. You know, if I land my first run in competition, in a final, I'm going to be sending it on the cab 10 every time, second run, because that's the run that I need. And the more times you can land a run in a competition, the easier it becomes. You know, I want my standard to be raised. I want a new normal. So that's what I'm working towards. So if I can use these events to get my normal really high, set my own bar really high, what was difficult for me now won't be difficult for me in four events.
All right, Kelly, hold that thought. That's awesome. We have to go to break, and we'll be back with Kelly Clark, Olympian and Winter X Games champion. Hold on, Kelly. We'll be back after this break. And we're back here at All Action Sports Radio. We are with our defending gold medalist in the half pipe for snowboarding for the Winter X Games, Kelly Clark. Kelly, can I say it? Forgive me. Our audience wants to know. Kelly, dare I say it? Four-peat. Four-peat. Is that on your mind?
You know, I just take it day at a time. It's one contest at a time. It's one run at a time. It's one trick at a time. I try not to get too wrapped up in the destination that I've removed myself from the process, because you never do well if you have those expectations on your mind.
Now, Kelly, let's switch over to the Olympics. I mean, you are some kind of veteran, and we mentioned it earlier. You won your first gold medal in a women's half pipe in 2002. It is now 2014. Did you have any idea that you would make the 2014 Olympics?
No way. I never had this on my radar. You know, I thought in Salt Lake, you know, I was 18. I was like, oh, yeah, I'll get some Olympic experience. That didn't happen. I won the thing. And then, you know, when I was 22 and in Italy, I thought that'll be when I'm in the height of my career, when I'm 22 years old. And that didn't happen. I ended up in fourth. I thought maybe I could squeak out another one in Vancouver. I'd be 26. You know, I'd probably be pretty old by then, right, when I was planning this all out. And I did really well. I got a bronze medal, and I never – you know, could have told you in 100 years that I'd be 30 years old continuing to do this. And to be honest with you, I've had the four best years of my career between Vancouver and now.
Oh, great. Now, it hasn't been without some bumps and bruises. You have to judge yourself by yourself as an athlete. But then again, you have your competitors, the people you've been going head-to-head with on American soil, and now you have people from, I guess, around the globe in the Olympics. You know, Hannah Teeter, Gretchen Bleier, Elena Hyde, the Norwegian, say her name, Kjersti Baus?
Kjersti. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and Tora Bright. I know the girls are really tight in snowboarding. I know you guys are all friends, and you hang out and you encourage each other. But going into this Olympics, you know, there's a lot of pressure on you. There's a lot of expectations. How have you been handling it?
You know, it's a balance. You definitely balance the friendships and being competitors at the same time. You know, snowboarding is a really unique sport. I think we do that better than most sports, in my opinion. And, you know, I think it's inspiring to be around other women that are so talented, that are doing so much for the sport. It makes me want to be a better snowboarder when I look at them, when I compete against them. So it's, you know, you take it like that, and I really stay focused on my own goals. You know, I don't want to be reactionary in my snowboarding. I don't want to look to what other people are doing, you know, and say, oh, I should do that. I want to stay focused on the big picture. I want to stay focused on the tricks that I'm working on and on the realistic gains that I have the ability to make. You know, even you can see that at X Games last year, and Alina did a double, and I didn't think, oh, I have to do a double now. I'm like, okay, what are my strengths? What's going to be successful for me here? You know, I try and keep that perspective.
Good, good. Hey, real quick before we get out in our last 50 seconds or so, can you talk about your foundation?
Sure.
Hello?
And it's been one of the most amazing things to really put my efforts into something that's going to outlast my snowboarding career. I wanted to make sure that the snowboarding industry was better because I was a part of it and I wanted to give back. So we fund underserved youth through other snow-related nonprofits at entry level, creating access to the sport, and we fund high-level competitive athletes. I love being able to build something that's going to outlast and be bigger than just my competition results.
Well, Kelly Clark, I know you're a woman of faith, so our prayers are with you. Godspeed and good luck at the X Games and the Winter Olympics coming up. I know it's going to be a huge challenge for you, but we know you have it in you, so we're all rooting for you at the Olympics. All right, Kelly Clark, here on All Action Sports Radio. All right, we're doing it here at All Action Sports Radio. Don't forget, you can check us out on audiopool.com. You can download and check out all our episodes and from the past. I was going to say future. Well, any future episodes we do, you can do that too at audiopool.com. And you can also check us out on our website, allactionsportsradio.com. Don't forget Twitter. Follow us at All Action Sport, no S. Here at All Action Sports Radio. He's a former WQS veteran. He announces WCT and WQS events and the current USA PacSun Junior Surf Team coach, and he is our resident surf expert here at All Action Sports Radio. Ryan Simmons, 2014, and ASP Tour is, you know, going to be cranking right up again. Have you heard these changes that you and I can't find about the 2014 Tour, but I'm going to check that out, and if you can check that out for us, because I'm anxious to find out what the ASP has in store this year as far as changes are concerned, because, you know, they do have new ownership.
Well, I mean, that's right. You know, new hands taking over, and everyone's been kind of waiting for this scenario to take place for, say, 20 years or whatever. I mean, not that the product wasn't good, but can it get better is kind of what we're looking at. You know, can surfing get to that mainstream level like other sports? We hope it can. It should. It's one of the most exciting sports out there, if you ask me.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, speaking of sports, exciting sports, Mick Fanning has 3 ASP World titles, just like Andy Irons and Tom Curran. We all know Kelly Slater is an enigma. So let's take those 11 titles away, and let's talk about Andy, Tom, and Mick Fanning being normal. And in the pantheon of surfing, those guys are champions. You can't compare them to Kelly, who has 11. Right? I mean, we don't lessen Mick Fanning getting 3 ASP titles because you look at Kelly and go, well, he has 11. So 3 isn't that great, right?
No, I think 3 is unbelievable. But yeah, like you said, you really can't compare the other guys to Kelly based on what he's done. But for Mick Fanning to join, you know, the club of Tom Curran and Andy Irons, I think he's definitely in the greats of surfing now, you know? 2 titles kind of puts you with, I think, 4 or 5 or 6 other guys. And with 3, now you're in just that more elite group.
Can we call Mick and Slater rivals? I mean, like, is there a real rivalry there, like in a world of sports?
Well, I don't think there's the rivalry like there was with Andy, because I think Kelly and Mick are better friends. So I think it's hard to have a rivalry when guys hang out in the off time and surf, maybe go on surf trips, share a beer or a laugh. And, you know, so there's not that doggy dog, like, I want to kill this guy per se in a heat and just, you know, take him down as hard as I can, because I don't like him, but we wish there was. It would make it a lot more exciting, I think.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. You know, Mick said something in an article I read. I'm not sure where I read it, but he's been doing a series of interviews because he's a champion and people want to hear from him. But they asked him about Julian Wilson and John, and because everybody expected those guys to rise and just crush Kelly over the last couple of years and just be the champions. And he said it took him a while, you know, until he got, you know, into his later years to finally figure it out. Do you think that's the course that John and Julian are on? That they're great, they're good, they compete, but they're not going to win until they get a little older?
Well, I think that experience, you know, says a lot. And so the more events that they get to surf and the judges get to see them in their act, I think that it is going to build their confidence. And the more good results they get, So confidence breeds confidence. So they've had a few good results, but for just being on the tour for, what, 2 years or 3 years now, they need just wait till they're 5 or 6 years in and they feel comfortable with their whole act. And, I mean, you could potentially see John or Julian maybe 4 or 5 world titles, I think.
Well, let me flip that on you. What if you got rid of the old judges and put them newer judges, more progressive judges? Do you think that would flip the tables?
Well, if they decided to take away, the equivalent judging to power surfing to the new school of the air surfing and based it more on, more on the air, the new school, then I think those guys would probably get the nod in some of these heats. So I think, yes, if you changed the whole panel, things could switch up. And will we see that next year? I think we're all waiting to find out.
I doubt it. If you have Kelly Slater, manager and company and all those guys involved, why would they switch it up on him? Everybody's boosting that guy. Everybody's pushing that guy for number 12. So I doubt that would seriously happen. But we can always dream, right?
Well, it would be nice to see those huge maneuvers be rewarded like the public sees them most of the time. Some of the time they get rewarded. Most of the time someone does something crazy, the public goes, wow, was that an 8.5? And the judges give it a 6.6, and then they lose to the more safe surfing and the rail power of the old school veteran, and so people are still scratching their head. Yes, we would like to see maybe something change.
Absolutely. Ryan, thank you so much for being part of our show this week. I'm going to catch up with you next week, okay? And I think you're off to work, so good luck today.
Sounds good. Thanks a lot, guys. Talk next week.
All right, coming up, we have Jeff Schmuck at All Action Sports Radio talking about free skiing. All right, welcome back to All Access Sports Radio. I want to give a big thank you to WILS 1320 AM in Lansing, Michigan. Thank you for being a part of All Access Sports Radio. We appreciate you listening to us. All right, Lindsey Vonn pulled out of the Olympics, and that's a bad thing. We're all sad about that. But as a make her feel good thing, she went to Furry Friends Adoption in Jupiter, Florida, and she adopted a pit bull mix, and I just think it's funny. She already had a dog, and now she got another one. Ooh, that was a jab at Tiger Woods. Oh, bad host. All right, we're in our next segment here at All Access Sports Radio. One of my favorites. We are with SBC free skiing editor, magazine editor, Jeff Schmuck. Jeff, welcome back to All Access Sports Radio.
Thanks. Nice to be back.
All right, let's jump on this Bob Costas controversy scandal. I mean, this guy, he's the face of the Olympics. He will be hosting the Winter Olympics. And he goes on the Today Show this past week, and he says, and I quote, basically, this stuff is just jackass stuff, and they invented it and called it an Olympic sport. And he was talking about slope-style skiing and slope-style snowboarding. And in the background, he had Shaun White flipping around on his board. And then immediately the Twitter sphere blew up. Sal Masekela just ripped Bob Costas all over the place. And, how's that been setting with the free skiing world?
Well, everyone's very upset. I mean, I think that Mr. Costas should be ashamed of himself, and he should know better. I mean, for someone, a journalist of his caliber, to basically rip apart and disrespect athletes who have been, are working their butts off to get to the biggest sporting event in the world is pretty ridiculous. You know, I mean, he's like you said, he's the host of the Olympics. He's been doing this for years, and it was just kind of baffling. Like, I don't know if it was in jest or not, really, but for him to say that to a lot of hardworking athletes is really disgusting, and I only hope that one of the snowboarders or skiers, whoever wins, either refuses to speak to him or calls him out on the air in an interview.
Well, NBC Olympic snowboarding commentator Todd Richards posted on Facebook, and he said, on behalf of NBC snowboarding coverage team, I apologize to everyone in the sport. This does not represent the feelings of the people that work hard to bring you the snowboarding broadcast. And
yeah, go ahead. I mean, I hope that Costas catches wind of it, you know, I mean, and sees that he's created a bit of a proverbial storm and, you know, at the very least backtracks or maybe offers an apology to all these hardworking athletes who are giving it their all to you.
Well,
you have the chance to represent their sport at Sochi, in Sochi.
Well, you know, Nick Gepper, you know, he's, by the way, we've been reaching out to Nick. He hasn't responded to us. We're trying to get him on the show. So if you see that guy, slap him for me. All right. he said that his response, you know, who he already clinched a spot on the Olympic ski team, Nick Gepper. He said, I'm glad Bob Costas said that. Now it should draw interest and make slopestyle one of the most entertaining sports in the Olympics, which is true. But I think for all these guys, like you mentioned, who've been working so hard, it's got to be like a little dig. It's got to take the wind out of your sails. You know what I mean? You're busting your tail. You're going out there. You're doing your thing. And then this guy who you see on TV every single day, who is an icon, calls you a jackass for all intents and purposes.
Well, I think it's annoying, but at the same time, I don't think that, I mean, you know, as respectable as a journalist as I think all of us in the skiing community considered him prior to the other day, I don't think it shouldn't allow, you know, to take the wind out of the sails for anyone, because it's just one old tired guy's opinion who's, you know, clearly been in the game for way too long.
Couldn't said it better myself. In my last 15 seconds, we're less than 30 days away. We have the Dutour Events Grand Prix, the X Games coming up. How are our riders looking in our last 15 seconds, Jeff? How are our American riders? Are they looking good?
They're looking great. They did really well at the Dutour and Grand Prix, and really, it's anyone's game. You know, these next two events are going to be super, super exciting because they're the last two Olympic qualifiers.
Well, I'm looking forward to it, and we're going to get a lot of coverage, and we appreciate you coming on each week and you know, and taking us through it, Jeff, because I know you're on top of things, and we have the X Games coming up in a couple of weeks, so I definitely want to get you on next week to get the final word on going into the X Games.
Sounds good. Looking forward to it.
All right, SBC Magazine Editor Jeff Schmuck, thank you for being a part of our show. Coming up, we have our Song of the Week, Bad Sun, and their hit song, Salt. And this is our All Action Sports Radio Song of the Week. L.A. band, Trent, what? I hate it when they laugh. All right, this is our Song of the Week, Bad Sons. Their song, Salt. The new album will be available January 21st. My body, I'm not reclaiming. With different eyes and no shame. Found that a crack intern, somebody. Bad Sun, that's a local LA band. Their new album Transpose will be available January 21st. You know, I'm gonna reach out to those guys, see if we can get them on our show. That was a hot song, man. That was really good. All right, don't forget, you can always call us here at All Action Sports Radio on our studio line, 855-892-9606. I want to thank all our guests this week: Olympian, Winter X Games champion Kelly Clark, Jason Weingant from RacerX Online, Jeff Schmuck, SBC editor, magazine editor. I want to thank him. And of course, I want to thank Ryan Simmons, our resident surf expert. And I can't close without thanking you, our audience. Thank you so much for being a part of our show. Our crew, thank you so much for being a part of All Action Sports Radio and doing your thing. Thank you so much. We're out. I'll see you on the mountain. You've been listening to All Action Sports Radio.